turn your Bibles to Matthew 14. I thank Grave for bringing that Thanksgiving up. I confess I totally missed out on that with my whatever I was all doing this past week, occupation or whatever. I was dwelling much on faith. I was thinking quite a bit on these young souls being baptized and the struggles they encounter, looking past over my whole life and trying to. So there was a deep compassion created for leading them, setting an example in this love that we so abundantly experience from Jesus again and again. So my heart goes out to increase that faith and steadfastness. Then my heart went to that phrase in the Bible where it says, in the last times, many shall fall away. And that kind of brings sobering thoughts. And to top it all off, I'm kind of ill-prepared for this morning. But nevertheless, there's so much to be learned and there's so many examples of faith in the scriptures where it was steadfast, it was to the end. And I depend on you this morning. Each one, whoever can think up of a story that was a biblical example that was very transpiring for them through life and gave them courage to keep on. And this scripture here, where I stumbled on it, kind of. From 22 to 33, we'll go over that. There's one huge point in there that I'd like to bring out. It's about Jesus walking on the water. And then after that, I'll ask you to, whoever wants to share a Bible story. And I depend that there'll be half a dozen different stories come out. So I'll be gladly to listen because of my ill preparedness. And then I just thought while we were singing those blessed songs, and it raised a chest to have one or two songs, I suggest three or four at the last because time will likely have a way of sliding by. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side, onto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, Wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Did someone recognize that phrase that Peter made? Was the same phrase Satan used when he tempted Jesus? Or can someone say that phrase? Or when Jesus went through the temptation? I thought it very curious when I stumbled on that. In Matthew 4, it goes through the temptations of, I believe it's twice. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, that's Satan, command that these stones be made bread. Satan put that statement in there. If thou be the Son of God. And it's the same wording that Peter used. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou. How come that is? Or how do we bypass that and have absolute confidence, trust, faith? There is stories in the Bible, many stories actually, where that is just simply trust, confidence. Can somebody come up with a story? Or I'd like to hear from you. I'm more than ready to listen.
I think when Peter asked that question, he was trying to figure out if it actually was God. They saw something out there. They thought maybe it was a spirit, and he wasn't sure. And I guess my question is there times when God might be there helping us and we think it's something else, or we're not sure if it's him?
That is a continuous singing through all life, to know where the spirits are coming from. That is so true. But I would think he acknowledged him as Lord, if it be thou. And he stepped into the water with trust that he can walk in the water too. But he is only man, just like we are. Time comes, wind, boisterous waves, he started to sink. Can someone add or bring out that faith? How do we bypass that lack of faith, would be maybe said? How do we keep that confidence, that absolute trust in our Lord and Savior?
I think that Peter was focused on Jesus when he stepped out of the boat, rather than the waves and the wind and everything else, and then kind of got his eyes, his focus onto the problem rather than Jesus when he was walking. So I guess the small lesson is that we can keep our focus on Jesus and our trust in him, that would keep us floating.
Sometimes when you referred to the the words being used here, but it seems to me that the intent of the words, sometimes questions can be asked, the same question can be asked by two people, but they have a very different goal in mind. Like I think of Pilate, he asked, what is truth? But did he really want to know what truth was? And different people can ask that same question and really want to know what truth is. And it seems to me that Peter, he wanted to know if it was Jesus. And just thinking of it, I believe that Satan knew that it was Jesus when he tempted him. And yet, he was saying those words for a different reason. That's how I look at it, I guess. If we hear the same words, but if you know the intent of the person asking, it really makes a big difference.
Yes. That is a huge thing for all of life as we go through these, right from the day we recognize there is a God. There is a accountability someday for all of us. And that statement, yes, that's right. What is the intent? And Jesus' answer to that, and thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did he doubt? Is that a phrase we can just use as we are frail and fragile human beings and we are prone to doubt? Or what is the reason for that doubting? He had God with him right there, Jesus. This faith is a growing process in my vocabulary, my experiences. It is a growing thing where we need each other and trials of life and as we go about our daily duties. It is a growing thing from childhood till the grave, I believe. I don't think it's exempt from anybody. And then that humble and contriteness grows in the process too. But the interesting there in the last, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. How would we react in a state like that? We see it. I can tell you, stories of my own life. One was very negative, which I'm almost ashamed to talk about. And one was very positive. And just for the sake of these young souls that are trying to grope through life, I will talk about this incident that happened to me. I don't think I'll ever forget. We were married, I don't know, a year maybe. There was ordination coming up. This was in the winter time. Heart of winter, it happened to be a very stormy day. We came home from visiting. We're in the house getting supper. And there was a knock on the door. I didn't know there was anybody around. And first of all, I should say that my upbringing was kind of negative towards Jehovah's Witness, which was, however that developed, but that was kind of the first instinct that came to my mind as a young man, new man, head of the house. Somebody knocking on a stormy day like this. I was all somewhat, maybe even shook up a bit. Anyhow, I opened the door, welcomed him in, stepped inside because of the cold, the storm. And I have to admit, I was kind of cold and reserved. And he started to talk about religion, gently, calmly, sincerely. And through the process, I kind of kept that coldness. But to this day, I regret it. Because we talked only about 5 minutes, and he bid me goodbye and left. I asked him, where did he have his vehicle? Oh, it's out on the road. So he walked in that lane, which was deep in snow, and that puzzled me. I wondered what this all means. And I pounded over that and pounded over that. He left. And I wondered. I never seen a car leave. I never heard from him again. I never seen his face again that I can recall. I couldn't figure out what it all meant. And now with years of experience, I'm in a conclusion, although you can open it up for criticism, whatever. There was a this was a spirit. I tend to think that experience was valuable in the sense to always entertain strangers welcomingly, sincerely, and from the heart. Because I confess I was too cold. Whatever the reasoning was for him to show up, and I can say I sincerely tried to do that. And I felt pain and remorse for that coldness because it was not right. So my faith was actually very immature at that stage. And then the other side of the coin, I remember going through this deep trial. This was years ago, too. And I'm a sound sleeper by nature, very sound sleeper. It takes much to keep me from falling promptly asleep when I hit the pillow. But this one day, I was so troubled. There was lots of work lined up, demanding from me. And I was troubled, and I could not sleep. No matter what I did, I rolled around in bed, and I could not sleep. The issue at hand was huge in my mind. Exceptionally huge. Finally, I said, Lord God, you take it. You take it. I can't. There's work that must be done. My body needs rest. And I'll never forget. I rolled over, fell asleep promptly, soundly, and I slept soundly till morning. I was refreshed, actually ready for work. So the vast difference from totally faith. I had to think of that when I read this scripture here about Peter. And if somebody has stories in that same principle, same, or what the consequences of faith, the promises of faith, the biblical stories or experiences, we want to hear them. As I said, I'm depending on you to bring those stories out. What you experienced, or what if you have a biblical story that's very precious to you, I want to hear it. One story that really strikes out to me in faith and was Joseph's story. That young lad going through his life was a tremendous struggle. When I try to think of that, it's how he did it to manly go on. We only read of the positive. But, well, not exactly only. He was discouraged at times too. But he kept on in the faith. He kept on with the evidential confidence that God was always in control and would bring it out. And it's precious to read through that. And there's many too, others too. So somebody come up with a story of persevering faith. Because after all, this saving faith needs to lead to eternal life. And as I said in the start, there's somewhere in the scripture where it says, many shall fall away. That's the area where I was trying to encourage each other. And I ask you to do it.
It's interesting in that whole subject of faith. I was noticing recently how over and over it seems like, you know, when you look at closely at how Jesus related to that topic in relation to people that he ministered to, I won't be able to find all the references right now, but one example would be where, you know, someone came and, I'm paraphrasing this a bit, but someone came and said, you know, can you do this for me? Whatever it was. And then Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able? You know, he turned the table in a sense that the issue is not whether or not I can. The issue at stake is whether or not you can believe. And I find that often that was the case. You know, even the disciples, seeing his faith, seeing that he had faith to be healed. But then the encouraging part, you know, in all of that, especially if you're like me, you struggle with that at times and struggle with faith and confidence in God. In this particular case where this man brought his son, and then Jesus said, do you believe that I'm able to do this? And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, maybe that's, if we can't always say confidently that I believe, maybe we can at least say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Maybe we can at least do that. And Jesus, because I frankly face things sometimes where I'm not always ready to jump up and down and declare with confidence that I believe. But at the very least, maybe I at least need to say, Lord, I believe, but I'm struggling. You know, help my unbelief.
Excellent. Yeah, maybe there's someone else.
When I'm thinking about faith, I sometimes think of Abraham. And I'm going to read a few verses from Romans 4. It's speaking of Abraham in part of that chapter, but verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that when he had promised, he was able also to perform. And I guess the verse about him staggering not at God's promise, God had promised him something that seemed pretty unachievable and pretty impossible, and it seems that he didn't blink an eye. He just took it and believed it and just knew that God was going to figure out a way. And that blessed me.
Amen. Lawrence over here.
This is a completely different note. But the story of Joab in the Old Testament, David's commander, that basically, it's thrown me for a loop already to see that account, because like Joab was the commander of David's army. And something in me kind of liked the guy, you know, even though he didn't listen to the king. In a way, I feel like maybe my flesh kind of connected with Joab, because he took justice in his own hands. Oftentimes, like right from the start, when David became a king, then he murdered Abner, which was Saul's commander. And so Joab was obviously personally offended by this guy, and so he murdered him right off, and then continued to be the commander for David, and murdered Absalom when the orders were not to be killing Absalom in that rebellion. And Joab was again personally affected by that and murdered him. And also, I think it was at that point that David appointed a different commander then, instead of Joab. I'm not exactly sure about the history of that, but eventually David did put a different commander in place, and Joab murdered him as well. And part of what was hard at the end of David's life was that he commanded Joab to be killed, which I don't understand why he didn't do that in his own kingdom. Rather than when Solomon became king, that was one of the first things to do, was to get rid of Joab. And yeah, it's thrown me for a loop already, because here David had his issues as well, and they were forgiven. But then at the end of his life, he commanded that Joab is killed for his sins. And yeah. There's nothing really faith-building about what I'm sharing. I'm just doing what you told us to do, share Bible stories that leave an impression. And that definitely has left an impression on me. And yeah, I can't say one thing right or wrong necessarily, but definitely whatever Joab did there to bring it on himself, I guess David got forgiven. And Joab, I don't know what the difference was there. It doesn't really detail it out, but it's kind of hard to read that.
That story there, I find hard to penetrate myself, but yeah, basically I'd like to promote this walk of us pilgrims to faith and trust, in Christ, in God, for all these odd things that come across each one of us in life we have to deal with. And it'll be for the young people too. This perseverance and faith, one article came to my mind in Jesus' walk about that woman that came to Jesus, wanted her issues of life cleansed, and he ignored her. And she kept on. She knew this was a power way beyond her comprehension or her, and she wanted contact. And she kept on and asked again of some shape, and then Jesus said something about the dogs. The Israelites come first. And her answer was yes, but the dogs lick the crumbs that fall from their table. You know all of what I'm coming to. I can't pick it out where it is. But that persevering faith, he suddenly stopped and blessed her. He loved that kind of faith. I'd like to hear one or two more stories and then we'll go to singing. But this faith, trust, confidence.
I was just looking over this story that we read this morning. I was thinking, depends how we read that, and we might arrive at a different conclusion. Peter, he asked Jesus if he could walk on the water there or come to him, or Jesus asked him to come, and he went. And one translation here I see, Jesus said, "You have so little faith," Jesus said, "why did you doubt me?" And I think... Peter had faith in Christ, or when he was sinking, he wouldn't have called out to him. But then Jesus just said, okay, what was the reason of your faith faltering? And the way I read that is he was asking Peter to just take a look at that and see, you know, sometimes our faith does falter. It's not that we don't have faith, but our faith is weak, our faith is little. And Jesus was challenging him, what was the reason for that? And that's what I see happening here. And I think Peter had faith in Christ, or he wouldn't have called out to him. And I think it's sometimes good for ourselves just to, if our faith is weak, to just look over our life. And I think Peter here was probably in fear of the wave. Sometimes we have fear in our lives, different stuff. And just to look at that.
Excellent. I never thought of it that way, but that is a good thing to ponder through. Think about it. Go ahead, Paul.
I just like that you associated faith with trust and perseverance. Sometimes a lot of people think of faith as being able to walk on water or pray for someone, they're healed instantly, and some great sign, and yet sometimes that's the result of faith, but it doesn't begin there. And I had to think of Hebrews 11 there, what faith is, and there's many examples, many names there mentioned, and sometimes there was great, wonderful works done too, but generally it didn't begin there. Faith was evidenced in their daily walk with God, their offering of sacrifice there, their Enoch walking with God, and Abraham just in his choices, just trusting and resting in God. And we think the faith, for example, if we're sick, well, if we have faith, we're going to be healed and delivered. But faith is just that trust, and even in Hebrews 11, there's many examples of those that they didn't accept deliverance, and they suffered cruel mockings and scourgings and even bonds, imprisonment, and so on. They accepted what the Lord had for them, and that doesn't mean their faith was weak. They still just committed their all to God and just trusted and rested in Him unto the end. And so I say sometimes faith, we look at the something glamorous and that we can glory in and be proud of, maybe even. But faith is just that quiet, constant rest and trust in God and just allowing Him to be Lord of all.
I guess thinking about faith, my thoughts went to the woman who was diseased and said if she could only touch the hem of Jesus' garment, she will be whole. And Jesus honored that. But I was also thinking, just personal testimony. There's, could share many instances, but I thought back years ago to when, at the time when Grace was born 3 months early, and I guess it just kind of was very special to me. I did agonize and was afraid, and but then I just gave the whole situation to God and said, Lord, whatever, I'll just trust you through all this. And I can just testify the peace He gave throughout those next months when different times we thought we were losing her, and God just gave a total peace and rest and trust throughout that, as well as through sickness, when just the peace that He gives when I just give it all to Him and trust Him, no matter what He wants to do with it. It's just amazing, the peace He gives.
Yes. Very true. Is there any more? Time is sliding on. Maybe we'll have to stick to one song or two songs. Somebody else that'd like to share? I think it's beneficial for whoever listens, because we all have our stories of life. We all do. Simply a fact of life. And then I'll turn it over to the song leader, and I thank you all heartily for sharing. You helped me out of a predicament myself. Thank you.